a wild man.
I want you to struggle, and I want you wrestling with them angels.
Here he is, from Auburn University, Bo Jackson.
The correct Jordan Hare Stadium time is 8:50 p.m. Central Daylight Time. Your digital audio device is tuned to a solo crow show of the Orange and True podcast. That's right, it's me, at SonicCrow2 on Twitter, SonicCrow on Venmo, by myself. So tonight you're going to hear just my voice. So if you hate me, don't worry about it. If you hate me, that's great. Just hang up. If you don't hate me, come on, stick around. Let's get into it. I'm going to be just going through some of my favorite things that I've seen in the Auburn internet the last couple of days. I'm going to run through some NBA mock drafts. I've got hopefully some guests might jump on. We'll see. But right now we've got a solo crow show. Let's get into it. The first thing I want to talk about is the same thing that everybody has been talking about since, I don't know, the last couple of weeks. We've got the SEC adding two teams that I've known about my whole life. So this is something that I actually can speak to. I've probably watched more Oklahoma and Texas football games than anybody else on the website. So I am now the College Magnolia, University of Texas and University of Oklahoma liaison. So I take that with a lot of seriousness and hope to bring some integrity to that reporting position. So first thing you got to know, I'm going to quickly compare these two schools and these two towns so that if you are, let's say you're an Auburn SEC fan and you've never been to Norman, Oklahoma, you've never been to Austin, Texas, you're looking forward to maybe a road trip for a basketball, baseball, or football game or softball game. Because let me tell you, nobody takes softball more seriously than the Oklahoma Sooners. So that's basically what they've got at the moment, besides a pretty rocking and rolling football program. They are the nation's preeminent softball program. I think that's pretty safe to say. I don't think anybody would even argue with me that the fact that Oklahoma is where softball is. That's where the College World Series is for softball. Norman takes it extremely seriously. Norman, Oklahoma, start with the Sooners. That's an interesting bunch because if you look at the other national brand state schools, you're talking your Georgias, your Ohio States, your Alabamas, your LSUs, your Floridas, all of those schools are not only giant state schools, they're also giant state schools in recruiting-rich high school football grounds. Oklahoma is not a very populous state. There's not a lot of people in the state of Oklahoma, period. The states it borders to its north, east, and west are not producing a ton of four and five-star talent. So it legitimately has to make its entire team off of, number one, the best players from Oklahoma every single year, and number two, whoever it can get from Texas. And recently, it has been destroying. It has been to Texas what Auburn men's basketball has been to the state of Georgia. They get everybody. If the Sooners want the kid, they're getting him. And they've been that way. That's not a Lincoln Riley thing. That's a Bob Stoops thing. That was a Barry Switzer thing. They would go into Texas routinely and pick off the number one, number two, number three player in the state, much to the chagrin of the boys in Austin. One of the things that you have to know about that is that has a lot to do with where the talent in Texas is. Yes, there is a ton of talent in the Houston area. There is a ton of talent in North Austin area. There's not a ton of talent south of Austin in terms of four and five stars. There's not a ton of talent between Austin and Waco. And then Dallas has a good amount, but not close to what you see east of Dallas. East of Dallas, north of Houston, that is a college football hotbed in terms of getting talent. And Oklahoma goes into Northeast Texas, and that's they eat in Northeast Texas, and they're going to continue to do so for the time being. So who would I compare the Sooners the most to? Fan base-wise, Alabama, 100%. They are Alabama fans. If they lose a game, they are completely more confused than mad. They don't really know how to handle it. I know several OU fans that will quickly blame officiating on every call, on every snap. I know a guy who will call holding. He'll yell at holding in the middle of plays on every snap. He's impossible to watch games with. Yeah, OU fans are pretty bad in terms of that kind of stuff. And if you were looking for an entitlement, OU's pretty entitled, I think. Now, maybe there's some OU fans who might tune into this because they want to jump on the SB Nation SEC podcast train. So I'm sorry, guys. I've been to OU games. I've been to OU tailgates. There's an air of we have to win because we're the Sooners about it. Put it this way. I was at an OU-Texas Tech game. If you're listening to this and you went to OU, you know the game I'm talking about. It's the one where Tech won on the last second on like the one from a dive from the one-inch line in the pouring down rain. It was like rain delayed forever, very similar to the Auburn-Southern Miss game a couple years ago. And the confusion on the face of Sooner Nation was incredible. Like it would have never crossed their mind that a team might come into Norman and want to actually win a game. Texas, the best way to describe Texas is big, dumb, rich Ole Miss. So imagine if Ole Miss had all the money in the world, just more money than it knew what to do with. If it could then therefore like kind of parlay that cash into pushing people around, but yet for whatever reason found hilarious ways to lose games it should win. That's the University of Texas. It thinks it's Alabama. Texas fans will tell you they should be Alabama. They are the quote-unquote winningest program in college football and all this nonsense. They don't win a lot of games. Like, outside of the Mac Brown era, they're an 8-4 football team. That's it. Outside of the Mac Brown era, they are the Gus Malzahn era Auburn Tigers for their entire tenure. Maybe probably a little bit worse, actually. Probably more like 7-5. They were bad before Mac got there, and they've lost to Kansas twice since he left. And Kansas didn't beat a lot of teams. Let's see. Austin is the best, will be immediately the best town in the SEC. No two ways about that. Sorry, Auburn. There's not a whole lot you can do about it. The only thing Austin has going against it is that it's so cool that more people keep moving there. And so it's getting to the point now where it's insufferably bad traffic and its weather might keep it from being the best town in the SEC. But that's, I mean, you're looking at trying to pick nits. Once you're in Austin, it is unbelievable. The problem I would have with it if I was maybe an Auburn fan is you might feel like you're just not quite cool enough to be anywhere. You might walk into a restaurant and a bar and be like, wait, are they casting a television show in this room? Or is everyone here a model? Is this like an after party for like a modeling session? That's kind of what Austin feels like everywhere you go. That's Austin. Everybody is way cooler than you. They know it. Yeah, and they don't actually care if the team wins because there's a lot more going on in Austin. Similar to like Miami Heat guy. If the Heat aren't in the NBA Finals, the Heat fans don't really care about the Heat. There's a lot more going on in Miami than there is in, let's say, Cleveland Cavaliers guy's backyard. Yeah, so Austin going to be a glitzy, glamorous town. The Horns will probably come to the SEC. I don't see them doing a lot of winning in football. They will probably be a really competitive team in baseball immediately. Pretty decent softball program there as well. And up and down basketball. But this year, they're one of the Vegas favorites for winning the whole thing, which I would excited to see how they screw that up because I know that they will. Shaka Smart getting there has taken the baton from Rick Barnes in how can we just get as much talent to underappreciate and underperform as possible. So that's basically the University of Texas. I would say the University of Texas fan is also going to be confused at losses. They're going to show up in a long-sleeve button-down shirt tucked into jeans, a white long sleeve button down shirt tucked into jeans. The girls will be wearing cowboy boots and dresses. That is very much a thing that's happening, that still happens at the University of Texas. You might see some guys in jerseys in the Big 12 area. It's going to be different because they don't dress for game days the way that the traditional SEC fan base might dress for game days. It's just a different vibe there here west of the Mississippi. Yeah, the barbecue's better in Austin than any other SEC town. I'll go ahead and say that. Norman has terrible barbecue. Norman is like if Auburn were transported to the Midwest with the worst weather on earth and everyone weighs 1,000 pounds. So that's basically Norman. It's a very small town. It is got nothing really going on besides the university. Auburn has a lot more going on actually than Norman. Auburn is growing faster and a much easier place to hang out than Norman, Oklahoma. Norman, Oklahoma really is just a tornado target that has a bunch of really overweight people. There's not a whole lot else going on besides the university. You're really close to Oklahoma City, which is nice. And yeah, that's about it. They have a really cool drive-in called Classic 50s. If you ever go to Norman for a game, it's like an original Sonic. So Sonic is from Oklahoma City, and it is, I believe, based on this other one called Classic 50s Drive-In that is one of the really cool old Americana things. You can drive up and get burgers and slushes and stuff, just like Sonic, but it's like a local Sonic. And it's cool. They put like Skittles in their Sprites, and they put hot tamales in their Dr. Peppers. It's a pretty wild experience at Classic 50s. I know these things because my sister lived in Norman, so I got a couple of places hit up. The barbecue in Norman is not good, though, so I don't recommend doing that. If you go there and someone says, go to Vance Pig Shack, it's fine. It's going to be aggressively fine. That's kind of Oklahoma barbecue in a nutshell. But where do I think this takes the SEC? I said this on the Slack earlier today. I really don't think that this is all that awesome for college sports. I really think this is like, ooh, cool, we're going to get Oklahoma and Texas. But what does that actually mean? I think it actually means that schools like Baylor, TCU, Texas Tech, Oklahoma State, Kansas State are just going to be left out of something. And I think you might say, oh, well, boo-hoo. But I think college sports is going to lose something when this happens. So those schools might just get left out in the cold. Eventually, some of the other schools will get kicked out too. At some point, the SEC is going to look up and go, Vanderbilt's not making us any money. The Big Ten's going to say, what's Northwestern doing here? And it really, I think we're closer than we've ever been to what happened in the 90s. The English Premier League, I know we bring it back to soccer a lot on this podcast, but the English Premier League is the closest thing to college sports that any other country has, and really any other sport period has, because no other American sport operates the way college football does. But the English Premier League in the 90s just realized, you know what? What if the best teams negotiated a TV deal together instead of the national governing body for soccer negotiating that TV deal? So the Football League First Division broke away from what was called the Football League, what is called the Football League, which was founded in 1888. So you're talking about over 100 years at the time, 1992, of history. They said, look, TV deals are worth more than 100-year history. And they signed a billion-pound deal, which, I mean, that's nuts, crazy money back then and still today. But the thing is, it makes the league a corporation where the clubs get to keep some of that money and generate money for their own TV rights and all that stuff. And that's going to end up, I think, being what happens is the top four, the power four, what's going to become the power four, are going to eventually break away from the NCAA. Start what used to be called the College Football Alliance will probably get started up again. Most of y'all might be too young to remember the CFA, But the CFA will come back, and these four conferences will begin to negotiate a joint television package as one massive entity, and that will be it for the other schools. So if you're a Boise State fan or a UCF fan or a SMU or Houston fan, you better hope you get gobbled up by a big conference, because that's going to be it. Nobody is going to watch your games, because nobody watches English Championship Soccer, which is League 2. Like, I mean, it has some viewers, but it's nothing like the Premier League. And so what happens is the second league becomes the gap between first league and second league becomes so incredibly vast that it basically, unless you are putting in some sort of promotion relegation system, you're talking about the difference between Major League Baseball and Double A. Like, how many of you would tune into a Double A baseball game? Like, none of us. How many people watch the G League, for Pete's sake? And so you're talking about the fact that nobody's got, I mean, you watch a G League game and the gyms are not packed. And that is probably the second or probably the third or fourth best basketball league on the planet is the NBA G League. And the gyms aren't fully packed because it isn't the first league. It isn't league number one. And that's going to happen in college sports. And, you know, that's just kind of the way it is. It's not like it's the genie is out of the bottle, and it's been out of the bottle since the 80s when the conferences were allowed to start negotiating their own television rights. That's when the genie got let out of the bottle. Anybody who tries to tell you this is the SEC's fault or even ESPN's fault, it's not. It's the fact that in the 1980s, the NCAA lost a Supreme Court case to the conferences, to what was called the College Football Alliance, that allowed them to negotiate their own television deals. And they should be able to negotiate their own television deals. The NCAA doesn't do anything. And so because of that, because at every chance, the NCAA will always lose because the makeup of what we know as college sports doesn't make any actual sense on paper. And so when you have to write it out and say the quiet parts out loud, it will never hold up to legal or like rational scrutiny. And so when that happens, this happens. And now I'm for name, image, and likeness. I'm for the kids getting cash, all that stuff. It's not going to lead to an increase in amateurism by any stretch of the imagination. It's just going to lead to a college sports Premier League, which is fine. If that's what you're for, that's great. Yes. It's going to lead to a lot of empty stadiums in some cities. The sound I'm hearing, though, sounds like the Solo Crow Show might have a couple of guests. I'm hearing some background audio from the AU Chief. AU Chief, are you on live from Orlando?
Everton. Oh, you shine so bright. Yes, I'm here. Hello.
Chief, did you go to Orlando for the Everton matches, or did you go to Orlando to go see the Star Wars Disney place?
No, I went to for the Everton matches, but I got to go to Star Wars Land, which I didn't think I was going to make. Because, you know, do you have any idea how much it costs to take a family to Disney World?
I can't even imagine it. What is it, $1,000 for 4 days or 2 days?
Well, I did not bring my family.
No, thank God.
And friend of the show, Jeremy Golson, and we're here for the matches. And we went to Disney for 1 day, and we stayed off campus.
Nice.
So it's a lot cheaper. If you bring your family, you will have to take out a home loan, a loan against everything that you own, because it is expensive.
I've heard many people say that it's cheaper to rent an RV and drive to Disney World than to try to stay in Orlando. And
I mean, it's so crazy. Like, what's insane? You can stay in the Ritz-Carlton downtown from here for cheaper than you can stay on campus at a value resort, which is the lowest.
Wow.
But Star Wars Land was amazing. I'm sorry to interrupt the flow of the conversation here on the Solo Crow Pod.
No, it's good.
Star Wars Land was great. Hollywood Studios is a full-on, full-day thing now. Before, you could do it in less than a day.
Is that what MGM Studios used to? It used to be called MGM Studios. Okay.
Yeah, it was. It was called MGM to start, and then because they just had a licensing deal, basically, and then they changed the name to Hollywood Studios when that fell off, sometime in the 90s. But
I'm not sure if I've been since it's been Hollywood Studios.
It's the one with the Aerosmith Rock and Roller Coaster.
Oh, I've been on that, and I've done the Indiana Jones Experience.
Yeah, that's the stunt show, which wasn't running. And I thought they had done away with it because I thought they tore that down to build Star Wars Land, but apparently not. It just wasn't going, and I don't know if it's.
They're going to rebuild it when they come out with the sixth Indiana Jones film.
Sure. Which apparently Harrison Ford is. They're just going to paste his face on somebody else for that.
Because he's in the fifth, the one that's being filmed currently.
Yeah. Apparently they're just going to paste his face on.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
Harrison Ford's acting career is the one that we should all be trying to emulate in our own life.
Really, though? I mean,
he's in like two franchises that he has actively said he hates, and they keep. And they keep paying him.
He loves Indiana Jones.
Oh, that's right. He hates Star Wars, and he hates Star Wars fans. Like, and it's now gotten to be a joke where everyone thinks he's joking. He's like, no, I'm not joking. I'm not joking.
He's been a movie star for. He might be the last movie star.
That's true.
Now I'm thinking about it because he's been a star.
Him and Eastwood.
Yeah. Right. For what, 4 decades now? It's insane.
Mm-hmm. Unless, what's his name from not Paul Newman's dead, but the guy from Lonesome Dove is still alive, I think. Man, why am I blanking on his name?
I know, I'm blanking on it.
Anyway, so how are the Everton matches? How are the Blues looking? How are the Toppies?
It was great. It was fun. It was really fun. Tonight, the crowd was a little less than you'd want. It was pretty big on Sunday, and I guess a lot of people maybe.
They played a Brazilian team, didn't they?
Yeah, Colombianos. There were a lot of Colombianos here for that and to see James. I think more to see James than for that other team, actually. Yeah, the first match was crazy. It went to penalties and it went all the way to the keepers. It was awesome.
That's awesome.
But for a friendly, when you're just hanging out and drinking and watching a soccer match, that's as good as you can ask for. It's the best thing you can ask for. It was awesome.
So we were
tonight. Oh yeah, go ahead.
I was just talking about the. I was just talking about how. Well, I kind of gave everyone the overview of OU in Texas, considering I called myself now the Texas and Oklahoma liaison for the College of Magnolia slot, considering I've probably watched more of their sports than anybody else in this esteemed panel. But I mentioned that this OU in Texas, the SEC, feels a lot like the beginning of the Premier League in the 90s, where...
Yeah, when you said that in the Slack, it did say, oh yeah, I could see that.
I mean, which that's the biggest difference between the beginning of the Premier League in the 90s and the beginning of the Super League, the attempted Super League last year, is that the Super League was going to be a closed league. And that's why everyone got really mad. But
really
the,
uptight about it, yeah.
The Premier League, though it was... going to be 20 teams, it was going to operate on a system of promotion and relegation. I think is the only way that people in England didn't just like riot in the streets.
Right. I don't know. So do you know how many teams, how many teams was the top flight? Was it already 20 or did that like,
because no,
the championship
was,
has like 30 teams or something crazy
yeah,
like that.
I
they play
say
40
it was,
teams.
It was gigantic. Like it was bigger.
Okay. It was a lot bigger. That would make sense.
I'm trying to look this up.
I know why they did it is that it was outside the FA basically.
Mm-hmm.
Is why.
Yeah, because they wouldn't have to share the rights with the FA. Is that's the only reason. Yeah, I talked about that earlier. So they wouldn't. It was all about TV rights. They wanted to break away so that they can negotiate collectively a
Their
TV
own,
deal to pay each other as
exactly.
opposed to having to pay the FA. And this is, I said, this what's going to happen is there's going to be four conferences that will break away from the NCAA and negotiate a separate deal for football only that will benefit those four conferences only.
Yeah,
And that will effectively.
that's what I'm thinking too.
That will end football for the G5. I want to say this very clearly. This will not end football interest for those schools. They will have to close the programs at most of the
Yeah,
schools.
a whole bunch of them would,
The
yeah,
MAC
for
will no
sure.
longer compete in American college football. I don't
Yeah, I
think.
mean I was seeing today that they were talking about going to 10 games, a 10 game conference schedule,
Because if they
maybe.
do that, who is going to pay the MAC to play football?
Exactly. These schools like keep afloat by bringing in money from playing bigger schools. I don't know. I don't
So,
know how they do it.
and every conference is going to pretend that they won't let Boise State and UCF in based on academics. That's going to be the reason why Boise State's not going to be added to the Pac-12.
Right.
Even though the Pac-12 has schools in it that aren't exactly Yale, they're going to say, "Well, Boise State, you're not really the prestigious university." But the real answer is, we don't want to get beat by Boise
Yeah,
State
right.
on a regular basis, because Boise State and UC, this is the UCF and University of Houston dream scenario, is. They've now poised themselves to get picked up by one of these four conferences that's trying to get to whatever the number is, whether it's 16 teams or 20 teams. Right now, the SEC is going to have 16. So is that the number? Are the Pac-12, Big Ten, and ACC going to all get to 16? If so, there's some musical chairs that are going to be moving.
Yeah,
And
exactly.
Texas Tech, Kansas State, Oklahoma State, like where are they? I read yesterday, or today actually, that Kansas State, Oklahoma State, and Texas Tech are apparently trying to negotiate as a package deal.
Yeah, I was gonna say, are they trying to be a package deal?
And that Kansas and Iowa State are doing the same thing, which leaves Baylor
Well,
kind of
that's.
out in the cold.
Yeah, well, that the Kansas and Iowa State are just clearly Big Ten teams, right? Like,
You would think, and Iowa might say no, but I mean, look at what happened today. Texas A&M's president said she's voting yes. I mean, so it doesn't matter.
yeah, it really doesn't matter.
Because at the end of the day, I read somewhere it's going to make the SEC teams an extra $50 to $70 million a year extra to have OU and
That's
Texas in the
insane.
conference a
Yeah,
year.
it's true though. It's true.
And so why would you vote no? You're talking about
Yeah.
hundreds of millions of dollars over a decade.
So crazy.
I'm excited about it, kind of, because it'd be fun to watch Auburn beat Texas. And it'd be fun to drive up to Norman to see a game, because it's closer to me. But
Well, I was we our only day in Disney, we right when we got there, we ended up behind or right next to some Everton people that they were Baylor people. They like Baylor. They live in Abilene and they work there. I think he's in the same line of work that you are, Crow.
okay.
And we were talking about it, and they like Norman. They were talking about how they thought Norman was a nice little town.
I mean, it is. It's in a lot of ways, for better or worse, I would compare it to Auburn in about 2005.
Yeah, they said it was like Auburn, but not as nice looking.
Yeah. Remember Auburn in like 05, 06 when there weren't a lot of restaurants.
Yeah, right.
There were a couple, just a couple of spots.
Hey, Tarico's talking about our girl on TV right now. Sunisa Lee.
Oh yeah, we can talk about that. Sunisa Lee, representing Auburn extremely well in the Olympics. I'm trying to watch as much as I can. It's very difficult to find it.
Yes. Oh, they're doing like a feature on her right now.
I'll tell you right now, if I find out that Greg Sankey is trying to negotiate with NBC the rights for the SEC, I'm going to burn Birmingham to the ground.
The only thing they do well is Premier League soccer. That's the only thing they do.
I'm going to ask a question because there has to be an answer for this. Besides, they didn't think of it because it seems way too obvious. They've got a paid subscription streaming service called Peacock.
Yes, they do.
And they're trying to get people to pay for it.
Uh-huh.
Including myself, who have paid for it.
Yes, me too.
But it would seem to me if you just made every single Olympic event live and on demand available to Peacock subscribers.
Correct.
You would get a ton of people subscribing to Peacock. So why can't I watch the replay of the women's gymnastics until 2 days after it happens?
Because they wanted to be able. It's all because they want to be able to show it in prime time yesterday. So that they, because they're still like stuck in this, someone at NBC is still stuck in this old model where they can control when you see things.
Yeah, but like why? Like, why not let me watch it when I want to watch it? And also, like, you're still going to show me the same ads. I'm still watching the same ads. You can still sell those ads. And I'm paying you money each month.
Yeah.
You get me twice.
Say, hey, you don't want to wait till we show it at 8 p.m. or you missed it yesterday? Show it to me now.
Yeah.
They won't.
I can watch the men's mountain biking, which was awesome. If you haven't watched it, the replay is available on Peacock.
Oh, but I couldn't
watch the mountain biking until 2 days after it happened.
It's because somebody over there is still like stuck in the past where they.
So they had already showed the replay at primetime on USA or whoever. Right. One of the 50 different networks are showing these things on. Yet,
if you have YouTube TV, on your homepage, it's like nothing but different things on there.
We bought Sling TV for this month just to get, because like you can't. The only things live on Peacock are men's basketball and gymnastics, women's gymnastics and men's gymnastics. That's it. So if you want to watch anything live, you got to have some sort of subscriptions. We got Sling TV for $10 for the first month. We'll probably just cancel it because, like, what do I need that for? Because I'm at the moment, I'm streaming only, baby.
Yeah. Oh well, we're streaming only. That's a discussion for a different time. If you have YouTube TV, are you streaming only? I mean, I just stream on that.
I would say you are, but I'm even like. More streaming only because I don't even have a subscription service. Yeah. So it's just more like, I would say that I'm closer to not having any sports than.
Yeah, you are. That's essentially the only reason I have YouTube TV is for the sports.
Yeah, I know what I'm going to do in the fall, to be 100% honest.
Oh, this is smart. You're smarter than me.
So
we can get the latest Bluey on YouTube TV. Where
the Bluey's where it's at.
Yeah, it is.
Just a little bit of history because I looked it up. The way that the Premier League happened was like they waited till the end of the 1990 season, and then they put up a table, and they claimed it would make more money for everyone. Overall, in Football Association, which might be the case. I'm 100% sure.
I think it is. I'm pretty sure it's the case, but it also made the most more money for Manchester United, Liverpool.
Chelsea. The big four. It used to be a big four. Yeah. One of the things that obviously no one saw coming was that two other teams became part of the big four and became a big six.
Well, that an OPEC nation would buy one of the teams.
Right.
Right.
So, I mean, I don't even know That's no longer, I don't even think that could happen in college football unless there was some sort of promotion relegation built into it. And I think we talk about
maybe
that a ton.
Abu Dhabi wants to open a university or a bi university in the United States.
I mean, they've done, there's a Texas A&M in Qatar. They have a campus in Qatar.
That's true. There we go. Well, that makes sense. So they've got to send their oil, future oil executives over there.
Yeah, they're a lot closer than we are. I'm fascinated to see where this goes, but I think I unfortunately know the ending of this movie, and it's a pretty lousy ending for a lot of teams in the world. Especially if you are a school that maybe doesn't even have a football program, but is really big in basketball. Yeah. If you're a basketball school.
Yeah.
Like, what if you're Gonzaga? What comes for you?
I don't know.
So
That is interesting because all of this is focused on football at the moment. Uh-huh.
I mean, Baylor literally won the national championship in basketball this season.
Right, right.
And they're about to get left out of a major conference. That's how little it matters.
It's very, I don't know, it's going to be very interesting to see what happens with all the other sports. Like, I think college football will keep existing, and it'll look somewhat similar to what it does now, but what happens to all the other sports?
Right.
I mean, Baylor, they're private, and they'll be able to afford things. What happens to a place like Houston?
Right.
Where they don't, like, when they lose, they're going to lose a lot of money off of this.
Mm-hmm.
In every sport. Like, what happens?
Well, like I was saying, like, what happens to the entire MAC? Those are, for the most part, big state schools. Like, Miami of Ohio is a huge school.
What happens to a place like Baylor? Like, what's going to happen with them?
I mean, that's an interesting question, because, like, maybe they become, like, more of an academic. Maybe Baylor and Rice become more academic centric and like an Ivy League, but they've just built this new 50,000 seat, 60,000 seat football stadium that's going to just sit empty unless they get really good at men's soccer. and maybe that's what those teams do, is they just say, look, it's too expensive to field a football program that no one's coming to. We're just going to switch sports because it's a lot cheaper to play a sport where you only have 22 guys on the roster as opposed to one you have 90. Yeah, so let's take a quick break. I'll come back and we'll finish up talking NBA draft. And we're back, 37 minutes and 36 seconds into this bad boy. And
I want to let everyone know I almost ate a whole chicken from Pollo Tropical.
Really, you went back?
Yeah, we went back. Oh, yeah, I'll probably finish it for the night. So yeah, we went back. Interestingly, the guy that shared his chicken with me the other night. So they were wings and they were jerk chicken, but they don't sell jerk chicken wings at Pollo Tropical. So I don't know what to order.
Man.
Although this chicken doesn't, it tastes pretty much the same. It's not jerk, but I dipped it in the Pollo Pollo sauce.
Oh yeah.
Just a little bit of that on your chicken. And it's amazing.
Pollo Tropical, if you guys want to sponsor us, even though you only have, we have no franchises outside of the great state of Florida, give us a call.
Is it a Florida-only deal?
It's a Florida-only chain, I believe. Yeah. Man, we have Pollo Campero here, which I believe is like a Guatemalan chain.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And we have a couple other chicken chains from south of the border that are pretty fantastic. But Pollo Tropical is muy bueno. It's a Caribbean chain.
Yep. It is. It's so good. Which it's a Caribbean chain, which made me. I was like, what's up? Why is there no like straight up jerk chicken?
Right. It may just be called chicken.
Well, that's true. It's not quite what I would call jerk, but just plain. But it is. It's the best seasoned chicken I've ever had, and the barbecue was pretty good too.
Yeah. All right. Well, We got NBA draft is, if you're listening to this, it's today. We're recording this the day before, so it's tomorrow for me. What's your gut, Jeef?
Well, I talked earlier today in the old Slack there about how Thor is just kind of falling away in the last couple of weeks after being like people putting him in the lottery last week, and my gut kind of tells me that's where he still is with the actual teams, because I at this point, so we went through a period, a few months ago where people were just guessing, and then we started getting real information, and that's when him and Sharif both started kind of moving on up. And now we're back into a period where people started just guessing again. You got guys guessing that just look at Thor's numbers and not really have, they haven't been in a room with him like some of these NBA scouts have. And if you just see him, I think it makes a big difference. I mean, just if you're a scout and you just see this guy and his size, his wingspan, how tall he is, how he can shoot, I think it makes a huge difference, and I think that I wouldn't be surprised to see him still actually in the lottery.
Yeah. I mean, it would be incredible to have two lottery picks. I could see zero lottery picks. I could see two. I could see one first rounder. I could see two first rounders. I could see two second rounders, but I think the consensus right now is that everyone thinks that we're going to have two players drafted. And I'm fairly
that's
confident.
That's just incredible in and of itself.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I'm fairly confident that we're going to have two players drafted in the first round. Based on I sent it to the Slack earlier, the idea, it was a massive consensus NBA draft based on 96 individual drafts. Big boards.
Yeah.
And according to it, Thor was the seventh as his highest, but he's about on average around 21st pick in the draft. Mm-hmm. And Sharif was on average 12th, which puts him in the 12th. Lottery.
That's crazy. That's what I saw. I was like,
but how
wow,
wild is it that his high is four? So somebody has him as the fourth pick in this draft, and his low is 49. So somebody has him as the 49th pick in this draft.
I think that's just somebody that's like, well, this guy's barely 6 foot. Like, what is he going to do or whatever? That's got to be somebody that's never seen him.
Yeah. It is wild. And the other chart that I tweeted was they made this graph. If you haven't seen it, go to my timeline. That it's I'm at Senecro2 on Twitter. But it's a graph of this advanced stats program has a version of assists that basically takes into account all passes you made that led to a player getting fouled or passing, or that player that you passed to getting an assist or that player you passed to getting a basket. So that was ranked as the y-axis. However many of those, they call them like quality passes a game, went to the y-axis. And then the x-axis was assists per game. And it plotted all 20 of the consensus, like, first-round prospects in the draft. And all alone at the very top right, like, literally off the chart, was Sharif.
Oh, yeah.
Like, everyone else was kind of clumped into the 5-6 or 4-5 range. And Sharif is, like, 8 assists a game and, like, 12 quality passes a game. It's
insane.
Unreal. He is almost twice as good as every other player in the first round. So yeah, I just think that's a funny thing to look at. You're looking at an Auburn player who might be the next Rajon Rondo at worst. Jason Kidd at best. So it's a pretty cool thing. We get to claim him, even though he played less games than Cam for us, we still get to claim him.
Sure. It's insane that he played less games than Cam Newton. For us,
yeah,
it's not his fault though. I mean, it's just that's what sucks about it. It's like the NCAA deserves any everything that's probably about to come their way right now.
Yeah, I agree.
Because that it's sad that we didn't get to see him for more, and it's completely not his fault. But hey, you know, it's two guys that didn't play much for us, but they did play for us. They chose to come to Auburn, and now they're gonna get drafted. I mean, I feel pretty certain, or pretty confident in saying we're gonna have two guys drafted. I mean, it's feels like it.
Yeah, I agree.
I cannot imagine a world where, you know, 30 something NBA scouts let JT Thor go undrafted. It's just
no.
If he falls out of the first round, somebody's going to grab him in the second, just because they can't help themselves.
I agree. Well, maybe we do an emergency tomorrow. Quick shot on Twitter.
Yeah, we could probably do that.
And plug quick before we wrap up short pod tonight. Wrap up. Plug the Discord for us, Chief.
Oh yeah, we do have a Discord that has. I've been setting it up. We'll post a link online, I guess, and try to get a little conversation going outside of the when we do the pod. If anybody doesn't know what Discord is, it's chat app. It's like Slack or what are some other? That's the only like Teams. Other thing I know to compare to Teams, Google Chats, whatever you have. And it's a place where you guys can interact with us, give us ideas.
It even has a suggestion box. So if you wanted to leave us a suggestion, go for it.
Exactly. Tell us what we can do better. What we're doing good is great too. If you want to tell us we're the greatest podcast on the internet, that'd be awesome. Really, I look forward to some feedback. What do you guys want to hear about?
Right.
Are we, you know, I don't want to.
And eventually we can post some podcasts straight to the Discord.
Yeah. And cool we could actually, there's actually a way on there that we could like do the podcast on there and you can
that's
just
what
listen
I mean.
Live as well. So, we're going to get that going. We'll post the link sometime this week. Maybe during the draft. I've got a long drive ahead of me tomorrow, so maybe I can set something up with that.
Yeah, go for it.
Get that going. Because I should be home before the draft. And yeah, we'd love to interact with everybody.
For sure. I know
there's at least three or four of you out there listening at the moment. So,
well, Chief, I'm glad you were able to pop on to the Solo Crow Show.
Yeah, I'm glad I just happened to see it. I was like, oh, man, I can jump on right now.
You saved some listeners from hearing just me rant about how bad Norman, Oklahoma's barbecue is.
Oh, is it really bad?
It's not really bad. It's just really fine. Like, it's just not.
The people I was talking to in line, that they were talking about, if you go to Austin, they're like, you just got to get some barbecue.
Yeah, that,
they're like, there's
Austin
a thousand
is unbelievable.
Restaurants. Just,
yeah.
Just get some barbecue. Or like,
yeah,
all right.
Norman's more like. If every restaurant was like Mike and Ed's,
oh,
I mean, it's not
man,
bad. That's... It's just not. I mean, you know
that.
Or like Byron's. Byron's is amazing for breakfast, but imagine if it didn't have Byron's breakfast.
Yeah, I mean, like Mike and Ed's is fine. Like that was my go-to place in Auburn. Usually, if I just gonna get some barbecue, but it's not like. Anything I'd write home about.
Right.
I wouldn't tell everybody they had to go to Mike and Ed's. So no offense, Mike and Ed's. If you guys want to sponsor us, I'll tell everybody how good your ribs are because they were pretty good. So
yeah. All right. Well, I'll see you next week. Everybody have a wonderful weekend.